have a perplexing story. A story that kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder, what in the world is going on here? I mean, they've taken the Ark of the Covenant, and they've put it on a cart, and they're transporting it up to the city of David. They're dancing, and they're celebrating, and they're worshiping the Lord as they move the Ark of the Covenant. This seems like a wonderful time, a wonderful worship service. David was wearing some rather interesting-looking vestments. He wasn't wearing any vestments at all, friends. It was a wonderful celebration. What could possibly be going wrong? What could possibly go wrong? They moved into the threshing floor area as they were on their journey. And as they arrived, something happened, and the oxen that were pulling the cart that the Ark of the Covenant is sitting on shakes. And it looks like the Ark of the Covenant is going to tip over and fall off the cart. And as 2 Samuel says, Uzzah reached out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him there, because he reached out his hand to the ark, and he died there beside the ark of God. They've arrived at the threshing floor there at Nacon, and the Ark of the Covenant looks like it's about to tip off. And Uzzah, being a good guy, being a nice fella, being someone who cares about the ark and being entrusted to take care of it and to follow on the cart and watch from behind, does what any of us probably would be tempted to do. He reaches out to steady the ark. He reaches out and touches the Ark of the Covenant. And God, his anger is kindled against Uzzah, and God strikes him dead. Now, why? I mean, what did he do to deserve being struck down? What did he do to deserve being killed by God? Why did God get angry? Because Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant. There's lots of theories, there's lots of speculation as to what happened. Many of you may have heard that studies have been done of the Ark of the Covenant which indicate that it was a very powerful conductor of electricity, and so it would have built up while rolling on this cart, would have built up a great amount of static electricity so that when Uzzah reached out and touched it, it literally shocked him to death. Well, maybe. I'm not going to comment on it other than to tell that theory. But whatever happened, he was killed. Instantly. He died there beside the ark. What was it about touching the ark? Now, if you read about how the ark was to be taken care of, and when you read about how the ark was to be transported, you know that the ark isn't supposed to be put on carts. It had two long poles going through rings on its sides. And those poles, the purpose of those poles were for bearers to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And they were to wear special clothing to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Clothing symbolic of the purity of God, because humans are unworthy and impure and incapable of touching the things of God. So they were to put the Ark on these poles, poles going through these rings, and carry the ark by hand. So mistake one is they weren't carrying the ark. It was on a cart being rolled. Mistake two, Uzzah wasn't dressed properly. Well, that sounds silly, but it's a fact. He wasn't dressed properly to reach out and touch the Ark of the Covenant. But it's something more than all of that. I mean, those are two big mistakes. But but it's more than that. Speaking from the context and the perspective of the New Testament, we, looking back with Jesus in mind, can look at the Ark of the Covenant and see a type of Christ. Susan, you trust me? Get up. Now, moved right there. Now, look down. What do you see?
My shadow.
You see your shadow. You are casting a shadow. The light behind you, shining on you, is casting a shadow across the floor. All right? Now, is that shadow you?
No.
It's not really you. But if you weren't there, it would not be there. Hence, there is something about you that is blocking the light and casting a shadow. Interesting, it's the absence of light because of her body that is generating, creating that shadow on the floor. Well, similarly speaking, you may sit down. That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Similarly speaking, Jesus, in the New Testament, casts his shadow back into the old. And various elements, and various people, and various events, and various places, in various times, we see the shadow of Jesus. He is the originator, and the shadow is a, like reflection, if you will. And the Ark of the Covenant is the shadow of Jesus, the type, the original. In what way? Well, let's think about how the Ark of the Covenant was constructed. It was firstly a box made out of wood, acacia wood. Acacia wood is very strong and therefore reflects the humanness, the indestructible humanness of Jesus. Jesus, the church has long proclaimed, is 100% man, 100% human, a human in the unfallen state, a human like Adam, never having sinned. Jesus is a human, and the Ark of the Covenant initially is made out of acacia wood, a wooden box. And that wood is said to typify or be a shadow of Jesus' humanity. But the Ark of the Covenant is also, the wood, is also covered by layered gold. And that gold is said to symbolize or be a shadow of Jesus' divinity. Not only is Jesus 100% man in the acacia wood, he is also 100% God symbolized in the gold. So, in the very construction of the box, the Ark of the Covenant, which is sort of like a portable altar in which they also store various things, in the symbol of the construction of the Ark of the Covenant itself, we have the wood symbolizing his humanity and the gold covering it, shrouding it, clothing it, symbolizing his divinity. All right? So, in its basic construction, there is a symbol of Jesus' nature, fully man and fully God. It has a lid on it. The box, you access it from this lid. And this lid was used as the altar top, or the Holy of Holies. It was where, when you did a sacrifice and you brought the blood in and sprinkled it on the lid, you were sprinkling it on the mercy seat or the altar, if you will, by sprinkling it on that lid. And Jesus himself is our offering. And Jesus himself is the place where our sins are paid for. And it has a crown around its edge, and that crown symbolizes Jesus' nature as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And inside the Ark of the Covenant are three items: the unbroken tablets of stone upon which are written the Ten Commandments. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's a horrible mistake in that film. I mean, they do a great job depicting what the ark looked like, but they said in the film that they put the broken tablets with the law on it in the Ark of the Covenant. No, not the broken tablets, but the unbroken ones, the second set that were made after Moses broke the first set. They put the unbroken tablets of the Ten Commandments in the ark. That's the Word of God symbolized, and Jesus is the Word of God. It's the law of God, and that reflects the will of God, and Jesus is the will of God. So in this way too, within Christ, Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word of God, and that is reflected, shadow casted in the Ark of the Covenant carrying the unbroken tablets. Unbroken, this is important, unbroken because Jesus never broke the law. He was sinless. Second thing that they put in the ark was the golden pot of manna. What is it bread? The bread that was given in the wilderness to feed the people. The bread of heaven, the manna that came down to feed the Israelites during their exodus out of Egypt. The manna, the word means what is it? The what is it bread? They took that manna and they put it in a pot and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And that manna symbolizes the fact that Jesus is the bread of heaven. Jesus is our eternal sustenance. Jesus is all the spiritual food we will ever need. Jesus is our source of strength, our source of eternal life, our source of healing, our source of forgiveness, our source of the real presence of God. And that is also reflected today in the sacrament of Holy Communion. The bread of heaven that God gave to the Israelites in the wilderness, Jesus is the true bread that came down out of heaven. And we participate in receiving Him afresh and anew in the sacrament of Holy Communion. The third thing which was placed into the Ark of the Covenant is Aaron's rod that budded, his staff that budded, a dead stick of wood that came back to life, symbolizing that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead. And we, though we are dead, in Christ Jesus, when placed in Christ Jesus, we, though we are dead, are brought back to life anew. So we have in the Ark of the Covenant, in its very structure, we have a shadow of Jesus from the New Testament. And with what's placed in it, we have shadows of Christ Jesus in the New Testament. Hence, the Ark of the Covenant, the portable altar, the carrying case for the Ten Commandments and the manna and Aaron's rod. The Ark of the Covenant is not just those things. It is also a shadow of Jesus. And Jesus is God. Hence, when Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant, he was reaching out and grabbing hold of God's presence. No wonder he fell dead. He was breaking, reaching through, presumptuously touching the very real presence symbolized in the Ark of the Covenant as a shadow of Jesus, breaking through and touching the very real presence of God in the people's midst. He was violating the symbol of the presence of God. Steep punishment Yes, a very steep punishment. We in the covenant of Christ, we in the church, have nothing to fear about reaching out to the table of the Lord and taking hold of the elements of the bread and the cup. We have nothing to fear. For when we partake with our faith focused on Christ Jesus, when we partake with our faith focused on the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, when we partake, even though we are as unworthy as Uzzah, even though we are sinners, even though we have no right of our own to be eating, because of Jesus, because of His grace, because of His love, because of His commandment to take and eat, because Christ has called us here and promised to meet us here, if we eat with faith, with our eyes focused only on Jesus, and not even on our unworthiness, but on His worthiness to give of Himself, when we eat and when we drink, Christ makes us worthy. He transforms us. He empowers us. He comes to live within us. When we eat and drink in faith, trusting that Jesus will catch us, we can be assured that He will, and He will come to live in us anew and afresh. Faith is an action. I have said this many times. Faith is action. It is belief in action. And coming forward and taking a bit of bread and dipping it into the cup and receiving both elements together is a way of placing into action, into faithful action in obedience to the Word of God, the grace of God, and receiving it anew. Christ is formed in our hearts when we act in faith. So when we come and when we eat and when we drink, Jesus is really here. And He, our eternal manna, is feeding us. We have nothing to fear reaching out and taking a hold of the very presence of God, taking a hold by faith of the grace of God. We have nothing to fear. Uzzah reached out presumptuously, took hold of the Ark of the Covenant, ostensibly to do a good thing, to protect it, to keep it from falling over. That's presumptuous in and of itself, to think that God would allow His Ark to be damaged in that way. It had been stolen by earlier peoples to punish the Israelites. God wouldn't allow the Ark to be damaged. He should have known that. We are called not in presumption. We are called to act in faith and to reach out and take hold of the grace that God so desperately wants us to have. So when you come to the table of the Lord today, come without fear. Come knowing that He wishes to give you all the grace that He has. All you have to do is accept it. Receive it and allow the real presence of Jesus to change, to transform, and to make you whole.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, senior pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.